How about in the Holy Ghost, we just go ahead and worship the Lord now? I know we've been worshiping him, but how about we lift up our voice in thanksgiving for what he's done today? Hallelujah. God, that's right. Clap your hands. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. You believe you have the victory today? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord has given us victory. The Sunday school can go ahead and be dismissed. If you could, head in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It is wonderful to have each and every one of you with us again in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Many of you, this is not your first time here. Maybe it's your second or third. As I've said in the past, you come one time, you're a guest. Come two times, and you're just one of us. Hallelujah. So welcome to the body of Christ, and thank you for joining and choosing us to worship with. A couple things I'd like to draw your attention to before we get into the word of the Lord. First of all, I'd like to, and I'm going to proudly announce the Bible studies this week. We have had 7 Bible studies going on. Hallelujah. 7 different people have heard the word of the Lord being taught in their home, over the phone, or something like that. That is an amazing thing. Hallelujah. You want to know how people grow in the Lord? It's through learning the Bible. That's how they grow, right? Hallelujah, that's how they become better people, more faith. The Bible said, and I may end up touching on this today, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, right? Hallelujah, faith doesn't come by just hearing anything. It comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Praise God. So 7 different people got to hear the word of the Lord, not behind the pulpit. This does not include those who came to church on Wednesday. These are those we visited, we talked to. I want to thank you for teaching Bible studies. Why don't you give yourself a hand, hallelujah, for teaching Bible studies. If you've never taught a Bible study, I'd encourage you, come talk to me. We'll get you a Bible study to teach. If you've never had a Bible study, come talk to me. We'll get you a Bible study with one of our saints that they can come and teach you a Bible study. Discover purpose, the next slide there. I am very excited about starting module 2. Everybody say amen. If you have graduated module 2, would you raise your hand? If you've graduated module 2, praise the Lord. All right, those of you who've raised your hand, you can put them down. The rest of you need to be here this Wednesday. If at all possible, we will be starting Discover Purpose Module 2. This is discipleship right here. You want to grow in the Lord? This is how you do it. You have questions about big topics? We're going to be covering those questions. Like, can I be a Christian and drink alcohol? We're going to talk about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about, does God care about how I dress? Well, actually, the Bible does have a lot to say on the topic. We're going to talk about personal commitments and spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting. We're going to break all these topics and many, many more. Those are just a handful. Many, many more topics on the core of being a Christian. Really, what we're focusing on is not the culture of the world, but the kingdom culture that you and I belong to. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's the key focus of Module 2. It's talking about kingdom culture. What does it look like to live, not in the world, but in the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it. I'd encourage you to come. and to take part in it. I'd encourage you to come and let the Lord lead you and guide you and bless you. If you've not graduated Module 1, you can still come to Discover Purpose Module 2 and be blessed. If you've not graduated Module 1, we're starting next Sunday here with Module 1. It's a 20-minute class directly after service in the youth room. It's very quick, but it's a great opportunity for you just to get involved in the church. The goal with Module 1 is to get you into some sort of volunteer position within the church. So we want to get you to a point where you're acclimated into the body of Christ, and you're not just coming to church, but you now are the church, and you're doing something. You're contributing. You're bearing fruit in somehow in the church. That's the purpose of Module 1. If you desire, and there's some people who've got a desire to preach, you've got a desire to sing, be used on the platform, those are what we call influencing positions. I had somebody call me yesterday, a random preacher, said he wanted to come preach for us. I said, well, listen, I protect this pulpit as a pastor. I would not bring our sheep food that I didn't first test myself. So I protect this pulpit. That's why I don't just let anybody come preach behind this pulpit. Hallelujah. If you have a desire to be used in some sort of influencing position, teaching Sunday school. Now, you can be a Sunday school helper, but if you want to influence the kid, teaching him the Word of God, please come to Module 2 of Discover Purpose. At the end of Module 2, we will sit down. We will discuss those things. We will make a plan for your future and being used in those influencing positions. But I encourage you, come to Module 2, not for the sake to be used, but come to Module 2 with an open heart and just let the Lord touch you. Is that all right today? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I want to thank you for saying amen. I thought I was getting a whole lot of resistance on that and everything. You all just on board, and I appreciate it. I do not know how this sermon's going to go today. And I'm telling you, minute by minute, the Lord is changing it in my mind and my heart and changing the direction. And so we're just going to let the Holy Ghost speak. Is that okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Everybody has it. It's on the screen. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word, it means sincere. When I call to remembrance the sincere faith that you've got. Praise the Lord. I believe I'm talking to some people with sincere faith. You do have a sincere faith in God. He says, I believe and I remember you have a sincere faith, and you weren't the beginning of it. It first dwelt in thy grandmother Louise and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Now we read that really to get to our key verse, which is verse 6. But verse 6 builds off of verse 5. He says, wherefore, everybody say wherefore. Because I'm fully persuaded of your faith, I put thee in remembrance. I remind you. Everybody say remind you. Today, this is my goal. Simply just to remind you that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I just want to remind you, Timothy, because I know your faith is sincere. And I know that your faith is true. But there's one thing you're lacking, and that is the gifts of God need to be stirred up again in your heart and in your mind. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, I recognize there's some reasons why perhaps the gifts have not been stirring in your heart. But those reasons are not of God. For the Lord has given us the spirit of power. Everybody say power. Of love. Everybody say love. And of a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. Today I want to preach to you on a little while on dormant faith. When faith becomes dormant inside of us. Now I know today, I'm already prepared for it. After the service we've had the move of the Holy Ghost and people have been touched and people have been blessed. Praise the Lord, but maybe I'm not preaching to you for today. Maybe I'm preaching to you for tomorrow when the Monday blues hits. Or on Friday when you're worn out after a whole week of work. And all those things and hope and faith that were stored in you on Sunday seems like a distant memory. I want to remind you today, stir up the gift of God that is within you. You still got the Spirit of God in you, and the Lord is still able to do great things within you. Why don't we close our Bibles and let's pray again. Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to minister to our hearts. Help us to understand your word. Help us to know what you want us to say. Lord, I don't want to say anything above or under what you desire for me to say today. Anoint me to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody shout amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now that you're seated, I wonder if you'd do something for me. Just start clapping your hands and worshiping the Lord again. Did you feel the instant shift in the atmosphere? Hallelujah. It's because we've got the power. That love, that sound mind. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy. Paul was recognizing the great potential that Timothy had. Timothy was a protege. Timothy was somebody who followed the teachings of Paul. Timothy had great, sincere faith. The problem wasn't Timothy's faith. Everybody say, the problem isn't my faith. It wasn't his faith. Timothy was sincere. He was not fake. Now, if you're here today and you're not genuine in your faith and you don't genuinely want what the Lord has for you, you're putting on a show, then today this sermon night might not be for you. But this wasn't the case for Timothy. Timothy had a sincere faith. He believed in what the Lord was able to do. He wasn't staggering in his faith, right? Like Abraham, the Bible says, never staggered in his faith. He believed and held on to the understanding that if the Lord said it, it will be done in Jesus' name, right? Hallelujah. He declared and knew that I have a faith in the Lord's promises. I know that the Lord is good and is able and is powerful. Anybody know the Lord is able today? The Lord is powerful. The Lord is capable. The problem wasn't Timothy's faith. It also was true that Timothy did not have a young faith. Timothy was not young in the Lord at this point. Yes, he was still young compared to his pastor, Paul, but he was not a young minister anymore. He was not a new first generation Pentecost. We might have some first-generation Pentecost here today. He wasn't a first-generation Pentecost. He wasn't new to the church or to the walk with God. For his mother, Eunice, also carried the same faith, the same belief. She also believed in the promises of God and the power of God. His grandmother, Louise, was the first who came to the Lord. It first came unto Louise, and she passed it down to Eunice, her daughter, and Eunice passed it down unto Timothy. This wasn't a brand new faith. It was a strong faith. Everybody say strong faith. He did not doubt the commandments of God. He did not doubt the promises of God. And let me tell you something, with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are still possible. It doesn't matter what you're facing today. Faith is able to conquer all. If the faith can move a mountain, then faith can move a sin aside or a disease aside or a relationship aside. If faith can move a mountain, it can do anything for you if you believe. Oh, somebody worship in faith. I believe. I still believe. I still believe. I still believe I'm anointed. I still believe I'm going to have healing. I still believe I'm going to be used by God. Oh, what is it that you're still holding on to? What is it you're still believing for? Won't you go ahead and worship him for right now? I believe. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hataria da la bosutana. Timothy wasn't a novice in the faith. He's been doing this for a little while. He's gone down dark valleys. He's fought some great giants. But even the great ones struggle in their faith at times. Oh, hayarabasunarabasanda. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place, praise God. Even the greatest among us will feel dry. Even the greatest among us will feel like there's just a little, just barely anything left in the tank. Today I want to preach. I'm not talking about a weak faith. I'm not talking about a failing faith. I'm talking about when faith becomes dormant inside of you. Praise the Lord, because I believe. Anybody else believe today? I believe, right? But it's one thing to stand up in church with, you know, 30, 40 other people who believe. It's another thing when you're alone in your bedroom at night and the devil's attacking you. Hallelujah. And carnality is there. And you've lived your day struggling to get through the work, struggling to get the kids down. Hallelujah. And all you want is some peace and quiet. Hey, listen, after I've wrestled with that monkey, it's hard to have a bonfire faith. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you today about something every Christian must learn. It is how to catch a fire while I'm dormant. Oh, Jesus. When I feel dry, what do I do? When things seem to be lacking, what do I do? Hey, listen, what do I do when I don't feel it? What do I do when I don't got chill bumps? Here's what you do, Timothy. You stir up the Spirit of God. You stir up the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You get something on the inside of you that says, if I feel it or not, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. If I'm seeing it or not, the Lord is powerful. Hallelujah. If I feel it or not, the Lord is capable. Oh, see, the problem is when faith sits for a while, what happens to it? It dies. Hallelujah. Because James chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Hey, look. Oh, Jesus. I got faith. I'm as dry as a desert, but I got faith. I got faith. Hey, listen, sometimes it's not voluntary that we walk through desert places. I got faith. But I'm just going to sit back and wait till the Lord does it. Oh, Jesus. Look, I know I'm careful not to walk down some Pentecostal trope. I'm just saying what I want to get you to stand up and worship. I'm not trying to do that. But if you're waiting for the right song to be sung before you start stirring things up, you're doing it wrong. Why? Because faith, you can sit around and say, I got faith. Well, faith, if it hath not works, what is it? It's dead. He gives us a physical, literal example of this. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, you look at them, you say, man, that person really needs help. Well, see ya. Are you helping that person? No, you see that they need help. You see they need food. What are you going to do? In Jesus' name, I pray for you. Now I'm going to leave. Hallelujah. Did you profit him? Did you help him? Even so, verse 17, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You can sit back and say, I want healing, but I'm never going to pray for it. I want the Holy Ghost, but I'm never going to worship for it. I want God to do great things in my life, but I'm going to sit at home and watch it all on TV. Oh, Jesus. Look, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need a pastor to come help to stir it up a little bit, right? But what I'm saying is, if you sit there like a bump on a log, you're not going to get where you want to go. If you got true faith, it's got to move you to want to pray, to want to worship, to want to go to church, to want to do something for the Lord. Oh, I don't want dead faith. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. You can't disconnect these. Show me thy faith without thy works. It's impossible. And I will show thee my faith by my works. Oh, Jesus. Let's talk about stirring up. That word, it's one word in the Greek, stir up. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I'm going to fail to do so miserably. Hallelujah. But it means to kindle up or to rekindle. Well, what's going on? Hey, listen, if you don't keep putting logs on the fire, it's going to go out. Am I right? The problem isn't that the faith isn't there or the faith isn't great. The problem is that the fire is just getting a little dwindled down. Hallelujah. All you need is a stick to go and poke it a little bit. I know where, praise God, maybe I'll use this right here. Hallelujah. All we need is a little stick. You start poking that a little bit. Right? Just start poking a little bit. How am I going to get this fire back kindled? Hey, sometimes you just got to take a stick and just start poking it a little bit. You really want the devil to be upset in the midst of dryness? Just start worshiping. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. You really want to get the devil upset when he's been beating up on you all day long? You start lifting up your voice. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is powerful. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is able to take care of all my needs. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hakaranda la la bosonda. You can have faith, but not be stirred. You can be you can believe without being on fire. What's a term we're used to? I know. You can be lukewarm. Ooh. Ooh. You felt it on that one. Lukewarm. I believe, but I don't feel impressed to go to church. Oh, man. I know. It feels like I'm beating up on you. It's not. It's me poking you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I poke at you a little bit more? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I just haven't felt like I need to stand up and worship God. Oh, God. You mean to tell me everybody else is up and worshiping and dancing and shouting and coming down to the altar and you don't feel nothing and you think that's not a problem? Oh, Jesus. I'll move when the Lord moves me. Hey, look, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. You want the Lord to move? Start stirring it up, poking at the fire. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to get it going myself because I'm here to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. That's all right. Somebody else help me. I need a real stick here. I don't want to hurt anybody. I have a stick somewhere around here. Does this thing come undone? I don't think so. Maybe. Praise the Lord. That's all right. If you don't feel anything and the presence of the Lord is here, why in the world are you content with that? Why in the world are you fine with that? Why in the world are you going to sit there and say, oh, I'm all right. I don't feel like I need to worship because God hasn't touched me yet. Hallelujah. I don't wait until then. Look, I want you to look. Look at David's words. Thank you, my friend. That's perfect. I'll hand this off to you. We'll fix it later. I might have broken it. Hallelujah. I want you to look at Psalms chapter 103 and verse 1. I wasn't planning on making this a huge part of the sermon. This was not the sermon 5 minutes ago until I was sitting over here and people were worshiping and the Lord laid it on my heart. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 103, verse 1. I need to set up this verse of scripture. David has been anointed. Everybody say he's anointed. David has conquered. He beat Goliath. He is a victor. Everybody say he's a victor. But now Saul's after him. Now his anointing questioned. Now people are upset with him. He's going through a season of dryness. He's sitting in a dark, damp cave. But look at the words of David. He begins to speak not to the Lord. He speaks to himself. Hey, look, sometimes we got to speak to ourselves and say, hey, look, Aaron, you get up and bless the Lord. Oh, Jesus. He's sitting in the cave. He said, come on, David, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And I don't want you to give halfway. I don't want you to give just a little bit. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, look, I'd be all right if this place just broke out in worship. What's he doing? Come on, anybody else been there? Anybody else been there? I've been there. I've been in a season. I've been in drought. I've been in hardship. I've dealt with carnality. I've dealt with sin. Hallelujah. All of us do. I remember. Oh, Jesus. I remember a number of years ago, I was in the old building, and I was struggling. I had all these negative thoughts. I was fighting with the flesh. And I just kept coming to Jesus. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for being so weak. So sorry for being so negative. And I just kept repenting and repenting and repenting. Look. Repentance is important. Repentance is important. But we need to graduate beyond repentance. And when I say that, I don't mean, look, I repent every day. Every day I repent. But what I'm saying is, at some point your prayers need to advance from this down and out repentant sorrowfulness to a recognition of who Jesus is, of who God is, and who you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I was sitting there, and I was just so down and out. Hallelujah. But then something inside me just said, Aaron, you've been sitting here for about an hour doing nothing but being negative on yourself, beating up yourself. Hallelujah. And I just started saying, it's been all about me, 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 me. Look, sometimes we just get to a point where we're so beaten up ourselves that we forget the goodness of Jesus. We beat up on ourselves enough. We forget that I might not be good, but he's still good. I might not be strong, but he's still strong. I might not be holy, but he's still holy. Oh, hallelujah. And I tell you what, I switched it around. And I just started worshiping the Lord and telling him, I'm not good, but you're good, Lord Jesus. It will transform your day. Oh, Jesus. And that's exactly what David did. Psalms 103 and 1. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sometimes we got to talk to ourselves. Some of us. Some of us, I'm not going to look up. I'm going to look at my notes right here like I'm reading this. Some of us don't need another great service. I'm reading this from my notes. I'm not really, but praise the Lord. Some of us just need a good kick in the behind. Is that all right? Oh, Jesus. Come on now. Get out of your pit. The Lord didn't design it for you. Hallelujah. Don't sit there in your despair. Don't sit there in your carnality. Don't sit there in your suffering. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Come on, poke it. Poke it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I know things aren't going good right now. Look at verse 2. Praise God. Verse 2. Come on, Brother Kavon, don't fail me now. I'm going to go to all the way to verse 5 so you can put it in there and be ready. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hey, I know it's hard right now because of all the bad things happening to me. Verse 2, bless the Lord, oh my soul. But in the midst of hardship, don't forget the Lord is good. When I'm going through hardships, let me not forget the benefits of God. Let me not forget the benefits of His presence. Let me not forget how good He is. This is David still talking to himself. He's not talking to God. He's talking to himself. David, don't you dare in the midst of your cave forget about how good He's been to you. David, don't you dare in the midst of a cave forget how He's given you victories. Don't you dare forget how He's blessed you with the goodness and mercy. And whether or not you're walking down dark valleys or you're walking besides the still waters, don't forget the benefits of the Lord. Hallelujah, in the midst of sin, verse 3, don't forget the one who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You're sitting in the hospital room and the doctor gave you a bad report. Don't forget the one who healeth all thy diseases. You don't know where the next step's going to take you. You don't know if this is the end of your story. Verse 4, don't forget the one who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He's still there. He's still there. He's still got you in His hands. Don't forget who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Don't forget who it is that satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I know it's been a long time since you've tasted the goodness of the Lord. But don't forget, He's still good. And if you will just stir up the gifts of God, I promise you, you'll taste the good things again. You'll be blessed again. You'll be anointed again. David, if you can encourage yourself in the midst of a cave, He'll bring you back into the palace and position you where you belong. But you got to encourage yourself in the cave. You got to stir up the gift of God while in the cave. How about we worship the Lord? Can we stand to our feet and worship the Lord right now? If you're in the cave or you're in the palace, worship the Lord.
The Lord wants you to be on fire for Him. Anybody want to be on fire for the Lord? Look, I'm planning on marching into heaven, not crawling there. Look, Sister Meehan and I did not coordinate when she chose that song. I'm gonna see a victory. He's declaring it. He's lifting himself up. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm not gonna go to heaven. Hallelujah. Barely getting there. When I went to preach for Pastor Hamby, you can be seated for a minute. I got a medal for a couple more minutes. I was preaching in Boca. They started to sing some song that I had never heard of before. My father-in-law came up to me. He says, "I hate this song." And the words, they were quite peculiar. It said something to the effect of, "I'm just barely going to make it, but I'm going to make it." Praise God. I don't want to just barely make it. Listen, if you just barely make it, that means that everybody behind you is going to barely make it, if they're going to make it. If I'm barely making it, then my kids aren't going to make it. If I'm barely making it, my neighbors are definitely not going to make it. My coworkers are definitely not going to make it. If I'm on the line, hallelujah, between the world and the church, I'm not going to be able to influence the people who are around me. If I'm lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, how can I change anybody else? Look, none of this is in my notes. I'm just letting the Holy Ghost speak today. Hallelujah, I'm just telling you, it's time to stir it up. How do I stir it up? Well, fasting helps. Prayer. Worship. Anybody ever heard of the silent sermon? I've taught it here before. Pastor visited somebody. And look, I promise you, I had no intention in this sermon to talk about coming to church so much. I honestly was not planning on it. I had a pastor, there was a pastor who visited somebody and not been in church in a while. Just came and knocked on the door, and the guy said, "Oh, man." So he invited the pastor in, came and sat down in front of the fire. Pastor didn't say anything at all. It's called the silent sermon. That man sat there and looked at the pastor, and he just all of a sudden started confessing. "Oh, I know I've not been to church in a while, but I promise you I'm still reading my Bible and I'm still listening to good music and I'm praying and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing all this stuff." And he goes on and on and on, and the pastor's just sitting there listening to every word he has to say, and he goes on for a good 5 minutes talking and talking and talking, and then finally he just sees he's getting nowhere with the pastor. Pastor's not responding. And he just stops and gives up. And so they both sit there and look at the fire for a while. Pastor slowly stands to his feet, walks over, takes a little ember out of the fire, and sets it on the side. And then he goes and sits down. And both men sit there and stare at that ember as it slowly fades out. And that man looked at the pastor and he said, "I'll be to church this Sunday." Hallelujah. Look, there's a reason you got a pastor with a big stick poking you all the time. I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. Hallelujah. I've had conversations with several of you lately about me seeing potential in everybody. If I'm poking you and I'm pushing you, it's because I can see what the Lord is wanting to do inside of you. I can see the potential of God in you. No, Timothy, it's because of your faith. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. Stir up the gifts of God that are within you. If your pastor didn't poke you, if your pastor didn't pull on you, it's because he doesn't believe you got potential. But I see a king and a queen. I see a preacher, a pastor, a prophet. I see an anointed individual who's able to put the devil under his feet, who's able to knock down the gates of hell, and who's able to change their world. You just gotta stir up. You just gotta stir up the gifts of God and not be content with the bare minimum and the small embers. Somebody shout, set me on fire. Set me on fire. One more verse of scripture. 1 Timothy 5:19. First Timothy 5:19. It's a very simple, basic verse. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. For your information, I'm the one messing Kavan up, not him messing me up. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Everybody shout amen. Everybody shout hallelujah. Quench not the spirit. If you look at that word quench, it is the exact opposite of that word to stir up. The word quench means to extinguish. To extinguish, like as a fire or something that is on fire. Brother Victor, can you go get me a fire extinguisher? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. There is a point where you got to say, all right, props are too much. Look, I know today we just look at this verse of scripture and we put it in context of somehow in the middle of a church service, we shut down what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to do. And certainly it applies there and we can get into different contexts of that. But I believe it has a broader meaning of quenching the fire that the Lord has called us to walk in. He's not called you to do the bare minimum. He's called you to be on fire. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And look, I'm not here. Please understand me. I'm not here to pretend like I'm always on it 100% of the time. That'd be a lie. It'd be a lie. And I want to say this, and I'm not saying this for my glory. This week, God led me to do a 3-day fast, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 3-day fast. I'm not saying this for my glory. In fact, it's not for my glory, and I'll tell you why. 3-day fast, I tell you, I was on cloud 9. Wednesday night, I got up here and preached without any food in my body. Hallelujah. I struggled to get the words out. I struggled to get it going, but man, it felt good in the Holy Ghost, and God was working. Hallelujah. Thursday, man, I ate everything I could eat. Thursday night, I went to a Chinese buffet. And they just about kicked me out. Praise God. Friday, I tried to get a little bit more of that. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was on it, man. I was like, you know, Paul saying, my arms strapped together. There was nothing that could move me. Friday, I barely got myself out of bed. Hallelujah. I barely got myself out of bed. Friday night, I tried to be spiritual, and it was difficult. Saturday, I came here and worked for the church, and it was like I was just struggling all day long. Praise the Lord. Saturday night, I start praying. I said, God, man, I should have fasted Wednesday, Thursday, or Thursday, Friday, and Saturday instead. Because now I feel like I've lost everything I gained those first 3 days. This morning I woke up, I had to have a good long prayer meeting just so I could get that back and get stirred up. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, yes, we go through times and seasons. We all have to get to that point where we see I need to get the fire going. We can quench what God is wanting to do in our life by being carnal, by being afraid, by neglecting our prayer life. Hallelujah. Do not quench what the Spirit of the Lord's trying to do in you. Don't extinguish it with the things of this world. And if you do, get back in the prayer room. Stir it up again and get your walk with God back. So three reasons, three ways we quench what the Lord's trying to do in us. Number one, out of neglect. Everybody say neglect. You neglect a prayer room, you'll neglect your fire. You neglect church, you neglect your fire. You neglect your Bible reading, you neglect your fire. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Neglect fasting, you'll neglect your fire. A fire won't keep burning unless you feed it. Everybody say, feed the fire. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect it not. Don't ignore what the Lord's trying to do in you. Don't push off the anointing. If you feel a call of God, don't say maybe next week. Get to it. Get to it. Get to it. Get to it. Make it happen. Don't push it off. Don't neglect it. But get on fire for the Lord. Second reason, fear. Everybody say fear. I've got a fear of what this fire may do in me and the people around me. A fear where it may lead me. That man out of fear dug a hole and hid his talents. But the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And what he detailed as fear, the master detailed as laziness. Am I just sitting back out of fear what somebody might think? Or is that fear just giving me an excuse to be apathetic? All right, I'll move on. Third reason, and I'm finishing up. Third thing that'll extinguish your fire is carnality. This world will snuff it out. This world will do it to you in a heartbeat. What does the Bible say? Live in the world, but do not love the world. We are in the world, but we cannot love this world. I recognize we need relaxation. I'm not knocking that. We need family time. I'm definitely not knocking that. Hallelujah. But it's when the flesh dominates the spirit that is within us. I need to get to a point where the spiritual man is bigger and stronger than the carnal man. You can't do that watching 5 hours of TV and 15 seconds of prayer. I'm not here to preach against TV and all that. I can preach quite a bit about some things on TV. I'm not here to preach against that. It could be as simple as a phone app that keeps you out of the prayer room. Right? I know this is practical. I told you, I'm not preaching for you today. I'm preaching for you tomorrow. I'm preaching to you for Friday. Hallelujah. Friday comes around. Get that big stick out and start poking it again. I know I've spent a week and I've had to work and I've had to do this and I've had to do that. That's why midweek service to me is so important. Midweek service is a recharge. Hallelujah, where I've been struggling, it pokes me a little bit and gets the fire burning again. Hallelujah, all I'm trying to say is don't let that strong faith become dormant. Don't let that strong faith become dormant inside of you. The Lord is wanting to do something powerful in you. But you gotta let Him, you gotta let it get stirred up in you again. All right, you can stand to your feet. I promise this time it's not a lie or a trick. One of these days, real soon, I'm going to preach on what kind of church do we want to be. I've already referenced Revelations, where He says, "You are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm." Anybody remember what the solution was? That you would get back to your first love. I love seeing new people in Christ. They just got a fire. Well, you've been going for a long time. You've been coming to church for a while, sitting on a pew for a while. You've seen the goodness of God, but you've also seen how it rains on the just and the unjust. That can make you get real cold in your spirit. It can get you real content. Oh, that's a bad word right there in Christ. Get you real content in your walk with God. Just content with the bare minimum. Content with just a little flame. Timothy, I see you're sincere in the faith, but Timothy, I'm seeing a lack of passion in you. I see that you're sincere in the faith, but Timothy, I'm not seeing any fire anymore. You remember that passion you had to see souls saved? You remember the passion you had for prayer? You remember the hours you used to spend in the prayer room? Now you can barely get down and pray for 5 minutes. Timothy, I'm not here to knock your faith. I'm not here to say that you're wrong in Christ. I'm not questioning your salvation or your spirituality. What I'm questioning is your heat. Are you still hot for the Lord Jesus? Are you still on fire for God? Do you still want to see a move of God in the city of Stuart? Do you still want to see your family saved? Your loved ones come to Christ? Do you still want to see healings, signs and wonders? Do you still believe in the anointing on your life, David? Or has the cave stolen away your perspective of the crown? Oh, David, won't you encourage yourself again? Come on, anybody got your stick? You ready to start poking at it? I want you right now, if you feel it or you don't feel it, find some place where you can cry out to the Lord and you can stir it up in you and say, Jesus, I want my fire back. Jesus, I want my prayer life back. I want my faith back. I want that love back. I want the sound mind back. I want revival in my heart.